Kevin and Heather Salisbury wrote this note to the church family here. Thank you so much for the way so many of you have been the hands and feet of Jesus in helping us with life, laundry, meals, phone calls, and prayers. Thank you for the financial donations towards our medical bills and the treatment going forward also. We covet your continued prayers as we stand on faith and walk a different path. We pray for God's healing and ultimately His glory. Then they included this verse from Jeremiah 17. Heal me, Lord, and I'll be healed. Save me, and I'll be saved, for you are my heart's desire. Where's the Lord's word? Let it come now. Kevin and Heather, we appreciate you all so much. Appreciate your faith. We love you. And we are walking with you through this difficult challenge that is in front of you. But appreciate the way that you are meeting it with such faith and courage. You are a wonderful example to all of us. We appreciate you so much. Starting next week, I'm really excited about this. We are going to be launching our new vision. It's going to happen in a series of 6 sermons. I'm going to preach a couple of them. Witt's going to preach. Daryl and Alan are also going to preach in this series. So, I want to encourage you to be here next Sunday, and please invite others to come as well. It'd be great if all of us that are members of this congregation could be here starting next week to hear these sermons as we roll out what we believe to be God's vision for us, for the people of God here at this time and in this place. So that starts next week. Be praying about that. Be thinking about that, about how you see yourself playing a role in living out God's plan in this place, at this time in your life. So there's this passage in 1 Peter 5:7. It's one that likely you know well. Peter writes to Christians, as we've noted so many times, had all kinds of challenges, living in a culture that was oftentimes hostile to them because of their faith, their life in Jesus Christ. Peter tells them toward the close the letter, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Now think about the people who have read this verse and absorbed this verse in their life. Christians who have been a part of genocide in Africa. Those who across the world have had to practice their faith in Jesus Christ in a quiet way because it was deemed illegal in that place. Christians who are parents, sending their kids off to school like so many of you did just last week. Those of you who have seen loved ones struggle with different types of issues, health issues, mental issues, different struggles with jobs and relationship conflict. For so many years, thousands of years now, Christians have absorbed and reflected on these words from Peter. Cast your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. There were two women that met together for coffee, and one of them just had this huge smile on her face when she sat down with her friend. And the other friend just said, what's going on with you? You just seem so, I don't know, happy. What's the deal? And the lady said, oh, I'm just walking so lightly. I just feel like this huge burden has been lifted off of my soul, and life is just good. And so the lady said, well, whatever you've got, I want some of that. What's going on in your life? She said, well, I know this is going to sound weird, but I was able to find a professional worrier. And so I just pass all of my worries onto her, and look at me, I'm doing so well. So the lady said, well, like, how much does one of those cost? And she said, well, it's pretty steep. It's $100,000 a year. $100,000, how do you afford that? And the lady just said, I just let my worrier handle it. And just left it at that. But we all wonder about handling our worry. Wouldn't it be great if we had someone like that? And think about your worries for a moment. What kind of three questions as we think about this. First of all, what do you worry about? And just take a moment to think about that. What do you worry about? If there's anybody in this room that doesn't worry, you need to be up here and sharing your secret. What do you worry about? Why do you worry? At least part of it is you care, right? You care about your life, about how you're going to live your life, about how you're using your life. You care about others. You worry, perhaps at least partly, because you're not in control and you want to be in control. Many of us, perhaps most of us, are control freaks, and so we worry because we aren't in control. How do you worry? How do you handle your worry? You lose sleep over it. Perhaps you get physically ill. Perhaps you exercise. Perhaps you eat your worries. How do you worry? Do you stew over things, or do you become really quiet? You hold it in. Do you process it with other people? How do you worry? Keep your responses, your thoughts to those questions. Keep those in mind as we work through the sermon this morning. Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. Appreciate Cody reading the first part of this passage for us. We're going to work through verse 34, starting at Matthew 6, 25. Jesus said, and this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than the clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? If God provides for the birds of the air, will he not provide for you as well, people that are made in his image? You need to note the immediate context here. Jesus is talking primarily about food, drink, and clothing. You need to keep that in mind. Verse 27, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Or perhaps, as the King James says it, a single cubit to your height? It's an odd question, an interesting question. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Or can you grow taller through worrying? And we know the answer, no. Absolutely not. We know that worry doesn't necessarily give. In fact, it detracts from life. We understand that. It keeps us from living life to the fullest, enjoying life as God desires us to do. And then verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So the emphasis here is on the provision of God again. Pagans don't believe in God. They don't live for God, recognizing the provision of God. And Jesus says, for those of you who do live in relationship with God, you understand that God cares for you. He takes care of his creation. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of the grass. And he takes care of you. recognize his provision. And then he offers this exhortation. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and over all these things will be given to you as well. So Jesus says, in the midst of all this, seek the kingdom first. God is king. He rules over all creation. It's all his. Seek his kingdom. Seek living for him, serving him, honoring him, glorify him. Seek him with all of your heart. And then Jesus concludes with these words. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so Jesus, he concedes something here, and I think it's very important that we note this. Each day has trouble. We're not ostriches that we bury our heads in the sand. We recognize that there is trouble in life. We live in a fractured world, a broken world. And so, I think as we look at Jesus' teaching here in Matthew 6, we understand that we're going to hold two realities together, and it's really important that we do so. The first reality, what's mentioned there in verse 33, is that as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we seek first the kingdom of God. We prioritize our life such that we are living for him, desiring to bring glory to him. He is king. We are citizens of his kingdom. That's the first reality. The second reality is that there is trouble in the world. There is disease. There is hurt. There are conflicts within our relationships. People are selfish. We are selfish. Sin and death are rampant in our world. They run rampant in our world. So we hold these two together. There's trouble, but we seek the kingdom. So I was talking, I'm not going to mention her name, I was talking to a lady. She's not part of this church family, but I was talking to her about life. And so her husband had a stroke about 15 years ago. She's been caring for her husband, who doesn't have the same type of mobility that he once did. He needs a lot of care and support. And this lady has beautifully exemplified what selflessness looks like as she has cared for her husband for the last 15 years. A couple weeks ago, he came down with sepsis, of all things. Touch and go for a while. But of course, through it all, she was by his side providing the care that he needed. Thankfully, he's gotten through it. It looks like he's going to be okay. But at the same time, she was told by doctors, she heard those words, cancer for her. And so here she's caring for, and she said it. She said, here I have lived so selflessly caring for him. And she said, doesn't God know that I don't have time for this? She was struggling. But then toward the end of the conversation, she said, I know. God's got this. God is in control, and I'm going to continue to walk day by day faithfully with him. That's holding these two realities together. She's going to seek the kingdom. She understands that he is king. She's going to serve him and him alone. She recognizes, she's real about this. There is trouble. There is pain that we feel in the world, real pain. I do want and never want to belittle someone's pain, hurt, or even their worry. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, all the time, every moment of your life, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, and in all situations, while you're anxious, we could even say, by prayer and petition, give it to God. Share it with him. And I love this. It says, the peace of God. It's a peace that we can't even comprehend. It's going to guard us. So I just get this image of this just huge wall that's providing protection for us, is built around us. And we get to live in the midst of that peace as God provides the protection that only He can provide. And so, in the midst of our worry, of our anxiety, we do what Paul says. We give it to God. We share it with Him. We offer it in our prayers and our petitions to Him. And I love what Paul says. He says, with thanksgiving, we do this. I like to think of that as with this expectation that God is going to provide what He has promised to provide, that peace. It's also this understanding that God has been faithful to us. He has brought us into relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. He has offered us many blessings. And so we offer these prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. And as we pray to Him, there's so much that we can learn from the Psalms. So let's look at Psalm 13. I think as we pray to God in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the worry, it's okay to use kind of messy language. Psalm 13, let me give you an example of this. We see this all throughout the Psalms, often referred to as the Psalms of Lament. This should be on the screen there, Bruce. We need to go back a few slides, I think. Yeah, that's the last slide. There should be. Yeah. Okay, one more up there, please. Verse 1. All right. So now we'll have it on the screen here. This is Psalm 13. Now, take note of the language. This is a psalm that's attributed to David. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Raw honesty here. Verse 2. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Have you been like David? Have you wrestled with your thoughts? Have you been up and you look at the clock? Now you pick up your smartphone and look at it and you're blinded by the light. You think it is 3 in the morning. What am I doing thinking about this, wrestling with my thoughts? Have you been there? The words of David, do they resonate with you? Of course, David had family conflict. He was running for his life from Saul for a little while. He was a king. You have to imagine that would bring about its own kind of trouble and conflict. He lost a son. David himself, he knew about anguish, despair, yes, worry. Verse 3, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. You can hear the pain in David's words. And then there's this little turn here in verse 5. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. There's pain there. We see it in the first four verses. But yet, what we see here, verses 5 and 6, is there's trust. There's a recognition of God who is at work in David's life, in our life. There was a king, not King David. He wanted to put some paintings up in his castle. And he wanted the pictures to show off peace. He had a tough life, so many decisions. He just wanted to see peace when he looked up at the wall. And so he had different painters paint about peace. One of the paintings, he got it down to 2. One of the paintings was this smooth glass-like lake. It had the pretty trees all around it. I was thinking kind of a Bob Ross picture. And So it had happy little squirrels in the tree, nice little birds having a lot of fun. So he had this one picture was just, it's just like serene, you know. And then the other one, the other painting that he had it narrowed down to, had these mountains, and they were like jagged mountains. And then there were these just thunder clouds up in the air, and this little bit of lightning back there. And the sky was like gray and even had some black in it. And there was a waterfall that was coming down from the mountain, and the waterfall was just raging waters. But way back in the back, there was a little tiny green bush. I mean, the greenest green you could ever see. And there was a little nest in that little tiny bush. And there was a little bird perched on that nest. And he said, I want that picture. I want the one with the storm and the jagged mountain. He said, that nest. And so everybody said, why? Why that one? And he said, there's this understanding in life. He said, I've been around long enough now to understand that peace doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be an absence of the turmoil, the tumultuous life, all of that. But he said, right there, in the midst of all of that, that was calmness. There it is, right there. And there's our two realities at work. Jesus said, there's going to be trouble today, but seek the kingdom. And as you seek the kingdom, as you pray to God, you'll find that the peace of God, which we can't even comprehend, will guard our hearts and our life. As we leave today, going forward, I'd like you to keep this in mind. The first thing is pray about your worries. Share them with God. Present them to God. Secondly, share what's going on in your life with others. I love Galatians 6:2. It talks about sharing our burdens with one another. We recognize that the church is a community of people. There are no lone rangers in this room. We are in this together. We share our lives with one another. We share the good and we share the not so good. And then actively seek first the kingdom. So I think what will happen as we seek the kingdom, you see, you can kind of take it and look like it's a bucket, right? As you take stuff out of the bucket, perhaps as you take out worry, you've got to put something else in. And I think that's seeking first the kingdom. You're filling your life with a new direction, a new way to look at life, seeking first the kingdom of God. And then finally, remember the promise of Jesus. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And I have to say about Matthew 11, 28 through 30, that's what I want to finish with, that I think Jesus is talking about his teachings, his instructions about being a disciple of his, living the life that is found in Jesus. And I believe it includes our worries, our struggles, our hurts. Let's allow the words of Jesus, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, to conclude this sermon. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If there's anybody here today that desires the prayers of the church family, you can let us know what's going on in your life. We'd be glad to pray with you about whatever it is. Here in a moment, Mark's going to lead us in an invitation song. You feel free to come here to the front and share what's going on with your life. We'll also have shepherds that will be available in the back. You can go and talk with them as well, and they'd be glad to pray with you. If there's anybody here today that is ready to give your life to the Savior in baptism, today would be a great day to do that. So whatever need that you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue our time of worship.